This is my radio story on Algoa FM.
Hey, yeah, guys.
What's up?
That's just.
You can have an outtake. We can have a blooper reel.
So we were initially asked to do a story, and we were told it's my radio story. What does radio mean to us and our journey into radio?
Are you going to tell us what the hashtags are that we're meant to include?
That's a good question.
But we're already in this conversation now. So
hashtag my radio story.
Hashtag my radio.
Is it?
Story.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
I just made that cool. up, Cornelius.
Well, then that's what it's going to be.
It's going to be that. Yeah. We lead and everyone follows.
Hashtag my radio story 2023.
There you go.
2023. Your 2023, Charlton, you started in 19 what?
Well, I started in Algoa in 97.
Before that, you were somewhere else.
So it all started for me. I'd go back to 1994. Mm-hmm. 1994, my first
the year of democracy.
Yes. That was a special year.
And first year at varsity. Now, I should actually be back, a little bit back, because the first I got to university in 94, I remembered something that happened when I was 7 years old or 8 years old. I went with my dad down to the university. He was studying part-time to become a teacher. Well, studying part-time for his degree, sorry. He was a teacher already.
Was he allowed at university back then?
Yeah, he was allowed. Oh. He was allowed. Yeah, I was allowed.
Okay, that's awesome.
And anyways, he spoke to his professor, whatever, and then we went for a walk on the campus. And we spoke about this not too long ago. He took me for chips and pie at the Kraal.
Your father?
Yeah, then UPE.
That's where the love of chips and pie started.
At the Kraal.
So now the Kraal, just to put people into, just to know what the Kraal is all about, it's where all the students gather. And that's where they eat. And I heard this radio station in the background while we were eating over there. And I asked my dad, what's that? And he said, no, it's the radio station, the radio station here at UPE. It was called Radio Uppy.
Mm. Charlton thought there were people talking like
voices
in his head.
And
Dad, can you hear that too?
A couple of years later, I remembered that visit we had at the Kraal on my orientation day at varsity. I didn't go on orientation like the other students. I went to go and look for the studio for Radio Uppy.
Oh, wow.
I skipped orientation. I didn't go to that.
Was it still like under the bridge? It was like in the corner?
Yes.
Just above the Kraal.
Yes.
Yeah. I've
been upstairs.
There.
And I found it. It took me about 20 minutes to find it. It wasn't difficult to find. And I met the then station manager there, Kevin Neeson. He was blind.
He was blind, yeah.
And chatted. And I started off as a music manager.
But you see, that's why you spent the rest of the first semester trying to find class, because you didn't go to the orientation.
There was no first semester. I was bunking like you won't believe it.
Charlton.
I didn't get a DP, as they call it, to write the exams. But anyways, that's where it all started, at Radio
Uppy.
Met
Mr. Neeson.
Yeah, Neeson.
Neeson.
Can I just jump in here? Because you mentioned Kevin Neeson. Do you know that Kevin Neeson at the time was the then station manager for what was CBFM, what is now Bay FM? It was still on campus. And he was blind and he used to do a radio show from 9 till 12. I started my radio career producing for Kevin.
Oh, wow.
So he would do the show and he would sit on the one side of the desk and I would sit on the other and I would push play on the computer. And obviously back then, it wasn't as advanced as we have it now.
Yeah.
And I needed to hear him. And he couldn't see me, but he had this incredible, he knew that there was somebody in the room.
Yeah, because his sense of hearing was obviously heightened.
Yeah.
I was in the same position because I did that as well. And going even further, just you mentioned CBFM. A year later in 1995, while I was on Radio Uppy, I was part of the initial team that put together the license for Campus Bay FM.
Shut up.
CBFM. I was fun.
Yeah.
Do you remember the slogan? I can tell you.
The one we still have is It's a Kind of Magic.
It's a Kind of Magic. Yeah. When I started there, it was CBFM, Kick Ass Radio.
Wow.
We were rebels.
You were veterans. Never mind rebels. You guys go all the way back. But both of your stories include elements of mine. So your story about having gone there with your dad as a seven-year-old and being introduced to radio.
Well,
just, you know, the impact thereof on you speaks to seeds being planted and the manifestation, you know, of your thoughts.
Yeah.
Because that was essentially you bringing something tangible into your life because of the experience as a seven-year-old.
Yeah, correct.
You willed it, right? Mm. The same thing happened to me. I was pregnant in, when was I pregnant? 2008, I think it was.
13 years ago.
Yeah. And I sent a mail to Dave Tiltman. I wanted to move back to PE from Cape Town at the time. Sent a mail to Dave Tiltman because at the time, television was very much marginalized in this province, more so the city. And my background was in television. And so I thought, okay, well, you know, the one thing that PE does have is radio. Mm. And in terms of profiles, Algoa FM is as good as it gets. Like, it's up there. Yeah. And I contacted Dave Tiltman at the time via email.
He was then, of course, the managing director of the station, now the CEO of the group. Yeah.
And I remember getting, you know, just a generic kind of response, thank you so much for contacting. Should there be anything, we'll get in touch. But little did I know that that was the planting of those manifestation seeds. And similarly, I was also on Ubuntu FM back in the day.
107.5, yeah, wasn't it?
We were based at Pier 14.
Yes.
Diombechu, who used to be an SABC executive, got me on board there. And I was presenting a Sunday afternoon show on Ubuntu.
You lie, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And I was also on the board of Bay FM. And that's where I met Queenie Mio. I met them at an AGM for Bay FM as a board member.
Shut up. But I genuinely didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was actually at school with Queenie, so I knew her. Met Mio for the first time at that meeting. But these were all the little seeds, man. And it's just, it's amazing how everything kind of comes together as it should. Years later, you know, but they come together. It might not happen a month later. It can happen years later, but it happens as it should. And
I mean, radio, we keep talking about the power of radio. And I mean, in the 80s, there was even a song to knock radio, like Video Killed a Radio Star.
Yeah.
And all of these years later, radio is still proving to be one of the best mediums.
Well, it's certainly the creative outlet I didn't know I needed. I didn't know that I would really kind of focus all my energies and carve a career path in radio. Cornelius, you're quiet there. Take out that bubble gum. You're chewing away. Tell us your story.
Well, I mean, because you also just, you kind of just like appeared out of nowhere.
Well, after
he's
hearing your guys' stories.
No, you've got a serious radio story.
No, I mean, mine's a little different because I obviously started in the recording industry and I got an offer to work in a recording studio because I was a session musician at the time and I was doing music, doing live shows. Got an opportunity to take over Andrew Grief's recording studio,
yeah,
creative music, back in the day.
Andrew Grief used to be at Radio Kingfisher back then.
Correct, yes. So it was based in the same building. Worked in the recording studio for a while. We did some projects and someone came in and said, look, we're short a drive presenter. Do you mind filling in? I was like, what do I know? I don't know anything about presenting. They said, no, just say something.
So, mean something.
So there I went off and I said something.
What was your first link? Do you remember?
Something.
It was something like,
don't just say something.
Yo, it was something along
Come on, give us.
So something along the lines of, good afternoon. It's 4:20 and we'll chat again soon. I was always the guy behind the scenes, and that's what I am now. And for me,
somewhat, because producer Corn's got quite a brand and a profile around.
Well, you guys had a hand in that because you pulled me in.
So yeah. we all got something in common. We all started on community radio.
Correct.
Yes. That's where it all started. Yes. Yeah.
Well, although I never heard back from Dave Tiltman, you mentioned Dave at that time was the MD, but then there was a changeover.
Yeah.
And Alfie J took over.
That's right.
And I was the marketing executive at the business school at NMU. NMU, at the time it was NMMU.
Yeah, I remember that was so difficult. It was so difficult to say it on air.
Drop the one.
NMMMU.
Yeah. And we were a client of Algoa's at the time. We were advertising as the business school with Algoa.
I remember.
Our accounts exec was Ukoliswa, and they had a little mixer for clients the one night, And Kholiswa invited me along to this mixer. And so I came. It was at the boardwalk on the deck, at the Algo FM deck. And it was a party.
Oh, yeah. We knew how to party there.
We partied. Yeah. So much so that I don't know what I said to Alfie, but I was something along the lines of, come on, give me a drum on the radio.
That's pretty much how you speak after the show as well, when you speak to one another.
She literally slid into Alfie J's DM and Wayne's. I want a job. In fact, no, give me a job. And then is the rest history?
Well, rest is history. He contacted me a few, I don't even know if it was weeks or months later, but sometime after that mixer. But thank goodness.
So he was your contact person, mixer. Dave. It was my contact person as well.
No, Dave didn't contact me back. It was Alfie.
No, I mean Alfie. Sorry, my apologies.
Yeah. Yes, Alfie contacted me back and offered me.
Okay.
You know what it shows? It shows how small Port Elizabeth is, firstly, or PE back then. I was at Kingfisher with Roland Gaspar and Jacques Arendt.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Jacques, and look where they are now. I mean, yeah. Jacques is, he was at a time doing the Garden Route Drive for Algoa.
That's right.
He used to be one of our colleagues. Mm. Then left, and now he's doing a show on Aris here.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if he was on that cruise ship. Old Jacques Arendt.
And you mentioned Roland.
Roland used to be on Kingfisher as well.
Yeah, that,
I think Roland was also a presenter on a radio station that no longer exists in Port Alfred. It was called Cowie FM.
Oh, yeah, I remember the name. Yeah.
Sure. And Roland, I remember he used to work there.
Do you guys remember the exact dates you started on Algoa?
1st of May 2016.
Okay. Wait.
I don't, eh? And it kills me because it's like a milestone that you want to
but
celebrate.
But what was your story? How did you get in here?
So I met a friend, Zane Derbyshire, back in 1999.
Zane was with me on Algo as well.
Yeah, and I loved radio. Like from as little
obsessed.
As I could remember, my parents always used to tell me that I loved radio because I would, from the back of the car, reach out and turn the volume up. I just loved radio. And met Zane, we became very close friends and learned that he was then working at CBFM and doing DJs while he was studying. Well, he was playing at events while he was studying. So he was kind of paying his own bills. And knew him for about a year. And then I said to him, listen, I would love to go see the studios at CBFM. He was like, sure, come along. Spoke to him, spoke to Kevin. And the next minute, a week later, I was producing for Kevin Neeson, the blind.
Oh, so you started off producing.
Producing. Okay. So I was producing for him. And then suddenly, I don't know how it happened, but it was, you have your own show. It started off with one on a Saturday. And then I took over from Kevin Neeson back then and used to do 9 till 12 during the day.
Did Kevin still have the same name for his show? I don't know. But when I was still there, we started out, it was Hard and Heavy with Kevy. It was in the drive.
No.
It was in the drive.
Oh, that's cute. Hard and Heavy with Kevy. Yeah. But you guys have also moved between different. Okay, now you've always been on Breakfast Charlie.
No.
Because I know Wayne was Drive and then is now obviously Breakfast. Where did you start?
That's why I asked if you remember the days you first started here. So my date was on the 10th of October 1997. It was a Saturday morning, 3 to 6 graveyard shift. 3 to 6 on a Saturday.
And you missed that initial call from Dave Tiltman. So Dave Tiltman called you on your landline at home because there were no cell phones back then. And Charlton was playing Skululi next door.
I was playing Skululi. I was playing skipping. No, I was with friends in Galvindale.
Shooting marbles.
I was with friends in Galvindale, and my dad was driving around trying to get hold of me. And he found me in Martin Street in Galvindale and said, listen, Dave Tiltman is looking for you. And I kind of like knew what this was all about. You kind of like just know.
And you quickly got back to him.
Yeah, and I rode up to where Algoa was then.
So that slot that you started on was what?
It was 3 to 6 on Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay.
Yeah,
in the mornings. And then you moved into Breakfast.
No. After that, I moved on to, it was Saturdays, the party show on Saturday evenings.
Okay.
And then weekdays was 9 to 12, Monday to Friday. I was teaching then as well. I was a school principal at the time as well. And then also I moved to 6 to 9 in the evening.
Okay.
And then Breakfast in 2006.
When you started on which slot?
So you mentioned 2006. That was the year that I
started Breakfast.
You started Breakfast. But that was the year that I got a call from KFM.
In Cape Town. As well.
Yeah, you had broken service.
It was such a difficult decision to make. And I was by myself. And I ended up working there at Prime Media for 8 months until the then MD Dave Tiltman flew into Cape Town.
Yes.
Literally flew into Cape Town for some sort of business. So he was sugarcoating it for me. And only later on did I find out that he was only coming to Cape Town to have the conversation with me. And the conversation went, we need you back at Algo FM. I'm not even going to talk money now, but over the next couple of weeks, you will know what you're going to get. Just trust me.
Yeah.
And I did that. And then they gave me the drive show.
Sure.
No. That you must know hectic. When they fly.
To go and then it's
to go
next
and
level.
Fetch you.
I wouldn't even get a response to an email.
No, look, things were different with me.
The thing
because
is,
of the gangsterism, they was just to
otherwise, he would have driven in.
I'm joking.
It was a different generation of people. Yeah. So I mentioned Zane Derbyshire earlier, myself, and as we left CBFM/BayFM and started working at Algoa, there was at that time, that's why Dave was phoning. That's why he was flying in. There was a mass exodus from Algoa to go work in Joburg, to go work at KFM or Cape Town or whatever.
All the commercial stations.
All the young ones were just leaving.
Yeah, guess what? And there didn't work out for a lot of them.
It didn't. It didn't. Some of them are not even on radio anymore. But that's how it sort of happened. And it's funny, man, because I tried to leave radio and only do it once. I started working at a private security company a year ago for 4 years in the corporate world, and then another knock. Would you work with Charlie and Lee?
So I think the trick, Charlton, perhaps, if I'm learning anything from what Wayne is saying, is that one needs to perhaps leave in order to be
to come back.
Fully appreciated and to come back on another level. No, but seriously, I think for all of us, though, with all of these different origin stories and whatever and all these memories, I think you guys would all agree with me in saying that essentially this part of the story has certainly got to be the best part.
Mm.
This four-man breakfast team part of the story. It certainly is mine. I mean, from my little humble beginnings at Ubuntu and on Bay FM's board and so on, this part is the best part.
I mean, you hear us on air every morning and we laugh and we joke, and it's literally like that off air. You can switch the microphone off. Look,
maybe not everything, Wayne. Maybe not everything.
But it's like this is our tribe,
and
we'll back each other up. I mean, if anyone messes with anyone, you're going to go down. Like the whole team's going to attack you.
Yeah.
That's how connected we are, and that's what radio does. It has this ability of directly and indirectly, it creates connections with people, and the ring of my finger now, this is as a direct result of Algo FM.
Oh.
That's where I met my now husband.
On air?
No. They were having a media launch for the Big Walk for Cancer. And at the time, he was working for a political organization and they had invited him to the launch, the media launch of the Big Walk for Cancer. And we just got talking that night.
Yeah.
And before I knew it, I was at Beer Shack having shots of tequila, and it just never stopped. And we just carried it on seeing each other. And a year later, 2 years after that, we got married.
Oh, well, Charlton's ring is thanks to church, and mine is thanks to Instagram. So we can't add Algoa into our romantic fold, I'm afraid.
But here's a question. What, because now you've spoken about how you got into radio and the journey so far, but what is it that keeps you here?
Well, I mean, like I said, I tried. I went and worked at a private security company. It was a very nice position on paper. It looked all great. I'm used to this. I'm used to radio. You know what I mean? I'm used to, we work on flexi time. We trust one another. It's not that corporate year. It isn't.
No.
I couldn't do it. And I was like, I need radio. Like, I need radio in my life. That's what's keeping me here.
We always
talk about it. Like, once you get into radio, it stays in your blood.
That's what I was about to say.
It stays in your blood.
It's in your blood. I mean, all my entire adulthood life, from basically tertiary education, I've been, that's, I won't say it's all I know, but once it's in your blood, man, it stays.
So you haven't worked anywhere else?
No, I have. No, I was teaching. Okay. I was teaching.
Maybe he was a principal.
I also, well, before I was a student, I worked in the fashion industry.
So was that your first
job? No, please.
Don't please. Say it like that.
Don't come in. No,
I'm not finished.
Don't come in. Listen,
yeah.
Fashion industry. Okay. So please.
Listen.
Please.
I just have to have an intro.
Please. I'm so glad this is a podcast.
Please.
No, I was a teller at one of the ladies.
This is the same person who says he had an accident on his motorbike. No.
But it's called an accident. So the industry I worked for
you
was
fell
fashion.
Off your scooter.
Your scooter.
The industry that I wore, the company I worked for is an industry. They're part
retail.
Of, retail. That's part, yeah. So that's where it started for me. And you know what? No, I don't want to share
so that
the
was your first job?
My first.
So what was your first job?
You had a fish and chip shop.
No. That was a business that I had after my dad passed. But I think my first, because I was also in retail. I was at two fashion retailers as a student working part-time. But I also worked at the 7-Eleven down in Rink Street just below Kinney Park.
Yes.
I was a cashier at the 7-Eleven who probably spent way too much time in the bakery having Oma Bruit and spinach and feta pies. Oma Bruit,
heavy bread.
The Oma bread. It was the first time we were introduced to that kind of bread. Because remember, we'd been used to the thin sliced bread up until then. And then this heavy Oma bread came out. But spent too much time there and probably also spent too much time arguing with the manager about why we couldn't have chairs as cashiers. Because you had to stand all damn day.
And that was it for you then, after that argument.
Yeah, that was it. 7 o'clock in the evening until 11. It worked well as a student because the hours were conducive. And I also, as I say, like Charlton, worked in the same retail shop as Charlton did, years apart, of course, because by the time I started there, Charlton was already married with kids. But I also probably spent far too much time in the fitting room going to give my feet a rest.
And you went?
It was actually CBFM was my first job. So because it was a community radio, operates under Section 25 license conditions. And that means that you cannot make a profit. So any monies that you make has to go back into the infrastructure or the radio station or to a charity. So
you didn't get paid?
At the start.
Oh.
But however, a year later, they agreed and there was a change in the with ICASA. Back then it was IBA.
The IBA, the Independent Broadcasting Authority. But even before then, we paid the students as well. There's another section before it changed.
You could only pay 5 people and that would have to be your management. And then I got into management and then I started 250 Rand.
As management?
That's what I was getting, 250
Management.
Rand. Guys, then I got an increase. They doubled it to 500.
Oh, wow.
And I was living in Rowetton Park at the time.
Yeah.
So it's driving from Rowetton Park, and for those that don't know, it's quite a distance from Rowetton Park
spent on petrol.
All the way to UPE then. And my parents used to shout at me all the time.
So how old were you when you started that job?
19.
Lee, you were?
I must have been around the same age, Ansel, because it was varsity. 19? But my first proper paying job, also at varsity, was my in-service training at Rhodes in the marketing department, and my biggest salary, you know, as a student then, I was getting like 3,000 and some odd.
Sure.
3,000 and some odd as an internship student.
Back then, that's a lot of money.
It was a flipping.
Yeah.
And you,
a lot of money.
Age wise, well, it all started at the then UPE. I was about 18, 19 as well.
So you guys have had it easy. I mean, I'm just that's what it comes down to.
Tell us about your way.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had it easy.
I took the bus into work.
I got my first job when I was 15 or 16. That's when I started working, guys.
You were also in retail. You worked in a supermarket.
I worked in a supermarket. I was the best ham packer you would have ever met. If you walked up and said, I'd like 7 rand salami and 3 rand poloni, I was the guy who would grab it
with your
pop it on the scale and it'd be
exactly
exactly
with your eyes.
I could imagine him slicing like one of the ham things in half just to make the weight exactly 200 grams.
But my first job I got fired from though. That job I got fired.
Why?
So what we do is we slice the hams.
Yeah.
So we slice, and then those little end bits. I mean, you can't really do anything with them. Okay. This was at the beginning. So I thought I was going to pop this bad boy into my mouth.
It's going to waste. One-way ticket to Tummy Town.
So I popped this piece of roast beef into my mouth.
Not a roast beef. Not even a polony.
And then the manager came along and he was like, "How far are we?" And I was like, "I'm finished."
And you didn't think you were doing anything wrong, so you didn't even hide it.
No, and he's like, "What are you doing? You're eating the pizza toppings."
It actually was a pizza toppings.
What's the pizza toppings? I don't know any better. So he fired me on the spot. The offcuts. I walked home. My mom asked me, "Why are you home?" I said, "I got fired because I ate the offcuts."
The guy gave him your pizza.
My mom
pizza
went
your
back to that store. Yes, gave him a piece of her mind.
Yes.
And he offered me my job back. And I said, "No."
Good on you.
Okay, well, let's talk faux pas. Carlton, what was yours to date? What has just been your general biggest faux pas?
Charlie's made multiple offensive jokes.
Yeah.
I was very clever. But my most embarrassing situation or moment on air was on Bay FM. I did the drive in the afternoons between 3 and 6, and we had a competition. I had a competition currently on, and it was a hamper that I had to give away. And I took calls live. And it was my brother that called through. He wasn't listening at the time on the radio. He just called because it was the only number to get hold of me. It's a studio line. And it went something like this. I went, "Bay FM, you're live." And all I heard on the other side was, "Charlton, mummy said you must be in bed and more." I mean, you know, I was single at the time.
"You must be in bed and more."
You're like single at the time. The girls are listening to you. You're a DJ. You're cool. And your brother says,
"Mummy,
mummy says you must bring bread and milk on the way away." I mean, that's like a wet blanket right there, man. Goodness. But yeah, that's the one thing that really stands out. And that's our story.
No, we need to do the hashtag. We need to
hashtag that's. Is my
let's do it all together in sync, and that is hashtag our radio story 2023.
Okay, but if we're all going to say it together, say ma, because that is the hashtag.
Okay, but why? Okay,
and that is.
Wait, I'm going to do a countdown, like, okay. And then we go.
Hashtag my radio story.
Okay. Just to say 2023.
Okay, cool.
Do we have to say 2023?
Yeah, 2023 is in the hashtag.
Hashtag.
Can we do two? My and our.
Okay.
And that is hashtag my radio story 2023. And that is hashtag our radio story 2022. Who the hell was that, Charlton?
This is my radio story on Algoa FM.